just unbelievable today. I don't buy most books, even from Baptists today. I'll buy some of the historical ones and some of the good ones that are doctrinal, but a lot of them I don't buy. And I'm not bashing anybody, I'm just telling you. If you were in my library, you wouldn't buy any of them either. If you walk through the library that I, and I'm not being proud, I'm just telling you, if you walk through that library and you pulled books down, and you tell me whether you're going to take the one from the 2020, or in 2000s, or if you're going to go back and you're going to grab the one from 1850. And when you grab the one from 2000, you grab the one from 1850, and you read them, there's just no comparison. None. Why? Well, they didn't have television. They didn't have entertainment. They had entertainment, but not like we do. Anyway, listen to this. It's called Another Gospel. Satan is not an initiator, but an imitator. God has an only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So has Satan, the son of perdition. In 2 Thessalonians 2:3, Paul talks about that son of perdition. There is a holy trinity, and there is likewise a trinity of evil. The beast, the false prophet, and the antichrist. Well, Satan. Do we read of the children of God? So also we read of the children of the wicked one in Matthew 13:38. Does God work in the former both to will and to do of His good pleasure? Then we are told that Satan is the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Isn't it amazing how you and I cannot see that while you're working for the Lord, the devil has his own team and they're working too? At the same time? Wow. It's amazing how our generation is so ignorant of this spiritual battle that goes on. Like, if I don't talk about it, it really won't be there. No, it's really there, folks. It's really there. Is there a mystery of godliness? So also is there a mystery of iniquity that doth already work. Remember that? Only he that now letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. There's the mystery of godliness. What was that? Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh, the Bible says. Amen? So is there a mystery of iniquity? Are we told that God by His angels seals His servants in their foreheads in Revelation 7:3? So also we learn that Satan by His agents set a mark in the foreheads of His devotees. You see how he's imitating everything that God does? Imitating. Not originating, but imitating. Are we told that the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God? Then the Bible deals with Satan on another level that says he provides deep things. Did Christ perform miracles? So also can Satan. He'll perform miracles. Amen? I remember a story that a missionary told of a witch doctor that was over in one of the countries over there that they were heathen lands over there in back in the late 1800s, and this witch doctor could actually lay his hands on people and heal them. Then the missionary came through, he got saved, and he didn't have that power anymore to heal. Is Christ seated upon a throne? So is Satan, the synagogue of Satan. Has Christ a church? Then Satan has his synagogue. Is Christ the light of the world? Then so is Satan himself transformed into an angel of light. Do you see how easy he works? How subtly he works? How simply he works? The Bible says we're not ignorant of his devices. Did Christ appoint apostles? Satan has his apostles too. This leads us to consider the gospel of Satan. Satan is the arch counterfeiter. The devil is now busy at work in the same field in which the Lord sowed the good seed. He is seeking to prevent the growth of the wheat by another plant, the tares, which closely resembles the wheat in appearance. In a word, by a process of imitation, he is aiming to neutralize the work of Christ. Therefore, as Christ has a gospel, Satan has a gospel too. The latter being a clever counterfeit of the former, so closely does the gospel of Satan resemble that which it parodies, multitudes of the unsaved are deceived by it. It is to this gospel of Satan by the apostle refers when he says To the Galatians, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that hath called you into grace, in the grace of Christ, unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. This false gospel is being heralded even in the days of the apostle, and a most awful curse was called down upon those who preached it. The apostle continues, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. You know, it just takes a little bit of error to change that gospel and make it very believable. Just a little bit. The gospel of Satan is not a system of revolutionary principles, nor yet a program of anarchy. It does not promote strife and war, but aims at peace and unity. It seeks not to set the mother against her daughter, nor the father against his son, but fosters the fraternal spirit whereby the human race is regarded as one great brotherhood. It does not seek to drag down the natural man, but to improve and uplift him. We're going to reform flesh, make it better. That's the gospel of Satan. It advocates education and cultivation and appeals to the best that is within. It aims to make this world such a comfortable and congenial habitat that Christ's absence from it will not be felt and God will not be needed. It endeavors to occupy man so much with this world that he has no time or inclination to think of the world to come. It propagates the principles of self-sacrifice, charity, and benevolence and teaches us to live for the good of others and to be kind to all. It appeals strongly to the carnal mind and is popular with the masses because it ignores the solemn facts that by nature, man is a fallen creature, alienated from the life of God and dead in trespasses and sins, and that his only hope lies in being born again. In contradistinction to the gospel of Christ, the gospel of Satan teaches salvation by works. It inculcates justification before God on the ground of human merits. Its sacramental phrase is be good and do good. But it fails to recognize that in the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. It announces salvation by character, which reverses the order of God's word. Character by, as the fruit of salvation, its various ramifications and organizations are manifold with temperance, reform movements, Christian socialist leagues, ethical culture societies, peace congresses are all employed, perhaps unconsciously, in proclaiming this gospel of Satan, salvation by works. The pledge card is substituted for Christ, social purity for individual regeneration, and politics and philosophy for doctrine and godliness. The cultivation of the old man is considered more practical than the creation of a new man in Christ Jesus. Make the old man better. Isn't that psychology? Isn't that what psychology tries to do? Don't you understand that's why you can take all them psychology books and burn them and roast your marshmallows over them if you want to? Because they're a waste of time. They're a bunch of garbage from the pit of hell. Why? Because you're trying to take human flesh and reform it. And God says that is in my flesh dwelt no good thing. There is nothing good in man. So how can you reform him? That's why prison's a joke. 99% of people in prison should not be there right now. Some of them should be dead. Amen. Prison doesn't reform somebody. You can't reform sinful flesh. You can't make it better. Only God can regenerate a soul. Amen. The cultivation of the old man is considered more practical than the creation of a new man. Whilst universal peace is looked for apart from the interposition and return of the Prince of Peace. The apostles of Satan are not saloon keepers and white slave traffickers, but are, for the most part, ordained ministers. Thousands of those who occupy our modern pulpits are no longer engaged in presenting the fundamentals of the Christian faith, but have turned aside from the truth and have given heed unto fables. Well, look at it. Oh, I can get there on Wednesday. Well, he might die by Wednesday. Well, that's okay, because then I'll commend his body, Lord Jesus. You ever heard that at the funeral? I commend this body. I heard some lady one time, as much as this makes me sick, I was at my aunt's funeral, and I got up there and preached the gospel at the funeral, and that lady looked at me, and she looked over somewhere like that, and I was like, yeah. And she got up there, and she was in her priestly robe and everything, and with like a bird flapping around, but she got up there and she said, I commend this body to you, Lord Jesus. I wanted to say right in front of everybody, I want to say, well, she was already led to the Lord 25 years ago by my father, but that's okay. I mean, her body is going into the ground, but her soul's already with the Lord. So I don't know what you're commending, because God don't want that dirty, wicked flesh anywhere near Him. Do you understand that? That whole commend your body, Lord Jesus stuff is a big joke. As a lie born out of the pit of hell. That is Satan's gospel right there. You can't commend that body to anything. That body's going to the ground, and one day it's going to rise to the judgment of the unsaved dead, or the judgment of the saved, and it's going to rise and be perfected in the air and taken up to be with the Lord, and so shall they all be with the Lord from now on, eternity, amen. But it's not going to be redeemed from the earth. God doesn't care about that body anymore until He resurrects it. That body sleeps, but that soul is in heaven or hell. So you can't commend anything. So when they stand up and they say that, I just want to yell at them, you're a stinking liar is what you are. Why don't you read that Bible? Could you show me that verse in the Bible where you commend their body? It was His spirit He gave, right? It was His spirit He gave. The fundamentals of the Christian faith, but have turned aside unto fables. Instead of magnifying the enormity of sin and setting forth its eternal consequences, they minimize it by declaring that sin is merely ignorance or the absence of good. Instead of warning their hearers to flee from the wrath to come, they make God a liar by declaring that He is too loving and merciful to send any of His own creatures to eternal torment. Instead of declaring that without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sins, they merely hold up Christ as the great exemplar and exhort their hearers to follow in His steps. I like how he puts that in parentheses. I think he's talking about something there. Of them it must be said, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Their message may sound very plausible, and their aim appear very praiseworthy. Yet we read of them, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. No marvel. It's not a great thing that His ministers are transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. In addition to the fact that today hundreds of churches are without a leader who faithfully declares the whole counsel of God and presents His way of salvation, we also have to face the additional fact that the majority of people in these churches are very unlikely to learn the truth themselves. The family altar, where a portion of God's Word was wont to be read daily, is now, even in the homes of nominal Christians, largely a thing of the past. The Bible is not expounded in the pulpit and is not read in the pew. The demands of this rushing age are so numerous that multitudes have little time and still less inclination to make preparation for the meeting with God. Hence, the majority who are too indolent to search themselves are left at the mercy of those whom they pay to search for them, many of whom betray their trust by studying and expounding economic and social problems rather than the oracles of God. Understand this, you don't pay me to study for you. Do you understand that? I'm a God-called man, and you need to be in your Bible searching the Scriptures daily. I know what God's called me to do, and I also know what He's called you to do as children of light. Amen? You're to study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You're to do that. In Proverbs 14:12, read, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's the devil's delusion. That's the gospel of Satan. A way of salvation by human attainment. It's humanism. It is a way which seemeth right. It presented in such a plausible way that it appeals to the natural man. Listen, folks, you have to understand one thing. Until you come to the end of yourself and realize that you are a lost, hell-deserving, wicked, rotten, stinking, filthy sinner, you're not going to like the Jesus of the Bible. And you're not going to like anybody that represents Him. Oh, you may stick around for a little while, but you'll realize that either you will fall on your knees in repentance, or you'll hate it. Amen. Or you'll hate it. It is set forth in such a subtle and attractive manner that it commends itself to the intelligence of its hearers. By virtue of the fact that it appropriates to itself religious terminology, sometimes appeals to the Bible for its support, whenever this suits its purpose, holds up before men lofty ideals, and is proclaimed by those who have graduated from our theological institutions, countless multitudes are decoyed and deceived by it. Now, this guy wrote this 70 years ago, so don't blame me for saying it. I'm just repeating what he said. That's all. He wrote it 70 years ago. he didn't know what I know today or what I think. So I didn't. It's already written before I was around. The success of an illegitimate coiner depends largely upon how closely the counterfeit resembles the genuine article. Heresy is not so much the total denial of the truth as a perversion of it. Do you understand that? That's why it just grates me when people can't realize that. Heresy is not complete outright denial of the truth. It's a mixture of leaven with it. It's a mixture of falsehood with it. That's what makes it so appealing. That is why half a lie is always more dangerous than a complete repudiation. Hence, when the father of lies enters the pulpit, it is not his custom to flatly deny the fundamental truths of Christianity. Rather, does he tactically acknowledge them and then proceed to give an erroneous interpretation to the false application. I mean, that should be golden right there. That ought to be put on a wall right across here, a banner. I don't have a banner made up of that, because that's exactly the truth, isn't it? I'm going to read that again to you. Let me back up here. Hence, when the father of lies enters the pulpit, it is not his custom to flatly deny the fundamental truths of Christianity. Rather, does he tactically acknowledge them? So he acknowledges them, and then proceeds to give an erroneous interpretation and a false application. Man, that's golden right there, isn't it? For example, he would not be so foolish as to bodily announce his disbelief in a personal God. He takes his existence for granted and then gives a false description of his character. He announces that God is the spiritual father of all men, which is not true, when Scripture plainly tells us that we are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Further, he declares that God is far too merciful to ever send any member of the human race to hell, when God Himself has said whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. I don't believe a loving God would do that. Oh, yes. So that, yes.
Oprah grew up in a Baptist church.
Yeah.
And she was sitting there one day and she said, they're preaching on, Lord of the Heaven, Jesus. She gives this revelation and says, I realize that God loves me, and that's not the only way. There's got to be many other ways to heaven. You can't have an exclusive religion. That's, what she said. It goes right with that.
It sure does. And she's the high priest of the New Age movement, Oprah Winfrey is. She will preach. She preaches a false gospel. Yeah. Again, Satan would not be so foolish to ignore the central figure of human history, the Lord Jesus Christ. On the contrary, his gospel acknowledges him to be the best man that ever lived. Attention is drawn to his deeds of compassion and works of mercy, the beauty of his character and the sublimity of his teaching. His life is eulogized, but his vicarious death is ignored, and all-important atoning work of the cross is never mentioned. Whilst his triumphant and bodily resurrection from the grave is regarded as one of the credulous of superstitious age, it is a bloodless gospel and presents a crossless Christ who is received not as God manifest in the flesh, but merely as the ideal man. I've heard the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses say, oh, he was a good man, but he's not God. No good man would say he was God if he wasn't. Yep. Yep. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, we have a scripture that sheds much light upon our present theme. There we are told, if our gospel be hid, it is a hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He blinds the minds of unbelievers through hiding the light of the gospel of Christ, and he does this by substituting his own gospel. Appropriately is he designated the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, in merely appealing to the best that is within man, and in simply exhorting him to lead a nobler life, there is afforded a general platform upon which those of every shade of opinion can unite and proclaim his common message. Again, we quote Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It has been said with a considerable truth that the way to hell is paved with good intentions.
I just got to say this.
Yeah?
It's a little bit farther that's what a lot of these churches are doing.
Good works, right? That's the gospel. Now we should all do good works, but that's an outcome of salvation, not for salvation, and not in place of salvation.
And the second part of that verse is, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. So you can do all these works, and it's an abomination, but just simply talking to the Lord is
those that are saved.
Amen.
It has been said with considerable truth that the way of hell is paved with good intentions. There will be many in the lake of fire who commended life with good intentions, honest resolutions, and exalted ideas. Those who were just in their dealings, fair in their transactions, and charitable in all their ways. Men who prided themselves in their integrity, but who sought to justify themselves before God by their own righteousness. Men who were moral, merciful, and magnanimous, but who never saw themselves as guilty, lost, hell-deserving sinners needing a Savior. It's almost like you hear that every week. Such is the way which seemeth right, such is the way that commends itself to the carnal mind and recommends itself to multitudes of deluded ones today. The devil's delusion is that we can be saved by our own works and justified by our own deeds, whereas God tells us in his word, by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Anyway, I better stop there because we're bleeding into time here, and we'll pick this up next week here.